Well, welcome back to the second hour of 2 Hours of Jewish Soul. This is Charlie Bernhout. This is show number 304 for July 20th. And as you are aware, I have not been playing music. I've been doing interviews. And I will let you in that I plan to continue doing interviews for the first hour for many of the forthcoming programs, because there are a lot of interviews still to do. And I've gotten some good feedback. So what I'll be doing is doing a first hour of continuing interviews, and the second hour will be back to the Chazonis. And then we'll get ready for the holidays. I'm very pleased to have our first interview for the second hour with cantor Sherwood Goffin, who is celebrating 50 years at Lincoln Square Synagogue. You know that he's been involved with the Bell School of Jewish Music and also with the Cantorial Council of America. Shalom. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Charlie? Pleasure to speak to you.
Okay. How about first telling us a little bit about your background, where you were born and where you were raised?
I was born in New Haven, Connecticut, to a family of... My father was not Orthodox. My mother was from a semi-Hasidic family who sang all the time. In fact, my two uncles were Chazonim Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur every year. And I started taking violin lessons when I was 6 years old. I was in a choir when I was 8 years old.
In New Haven?
In New Haven, right.
Uh-huh.
And I went to the day school there at that time. And eventually, I at the age of 12, I already was sent off to Torah Vadas in Brooklyn. I was in the eighth grade. And at that time, I started spending every single Shabbos in the home of the Bus and the Rebbe of New York, who was the one who created all the Nigunim of the Bus and the Rebbe. All the Bus and the Nigunim came out of New York, not of Boston. This was the oldest son, and their family had moved there from Boston in 1938. And I was suddenly immersed into a world of music that I had never experienced before. Friday nights, they used to sing four-part harmonies at the table on Shabbos. Nigunim, the famous Nigunim, a lot of people know these Nigunim already. They came out of the Busner of New York, such as Torah, 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 Tziva Lanu Moshe, Torah, 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 Tziva, and Ki Me'olam, Ki Me'olam, Ah, all these came out of the years that I was there in the Busner Rebbe's house during eighth grade and high school. And I learned, I for the first time, I heard beautiful davening, because the Bus and the Rebbe was a wonderful Baal Tefillah. His son, in fact, son Reb Chaim Avram, was the chazan for 2 years of a congregation on the west side known as the Antwerp Minyan. That's where Rabbi Soloveitchik used to give lectures every week on Tuesday nights. But he had a beautiful voice. So between him and his brothers and his father, I was immersed into a world of singing which I have never experienced before. And I think that really gave me the basis for who I am today. And then I went from there to Torah Vadas and went to Yeshiva University. And while I was there, I took some courses in the Bell School of Jewish Music. At that time, it was called the Cantorial Training Institute. Captain Alman was one of my teachers. Captain Noach Scholl was one of my teachers. Captain Chaim Nyman was one of my teachers. Zal Pasternak was one of my teachers. And frankly, I didn't ever thought about doing it full-time, because I didn't think, you know, making a living in music, although I was a violinist, but I was interested in becoming a doctor. And suddenly, I learned how to play guitar, which wasn't so hard once you play violin. The transition is, although that's an exaggeration, it's a little more than bringing it down from your chin to your chest. Yeah. But it was the 75th anniversary convocation of Yeshiva University, 75th anniversary of the university, and they had a huge event in Lamport Auditorium, which seats 1,200 people. The place was packed. Students from Stern College, Yeshiva College, guests, visitors. Dr. Belkin, the president, spoke, and I was the interlude, as I had been singing with my guitar in the dormitories at night, keeping people up. So the president of the student council says, "Hey, why don't you sing for us?" And that so my first major performance was in front of 1,200 people at the Lamport Auditorium in Yeshiva University.
Interesting.
1961, 62, I think. Mm-hmm. And I started becoming very busy. People were calling me to do house events, Malava Malkas, women's luncheons, Shul's annual dinners. And I got pretty busy. And I said, "Wait a minute, I can't do medicine and do this at the same time, because I really enjoyed it." So I decided to switch to psychology, where I could also someday work in a hospital. I still work in a hospital and still enjoy a music career. And you want me to go further?
You were.
Shall I continue?
Well, yes, of course. You were involved very heavily with the Soviet Jewry movement in the beginning.
Yes. So at that time, also, I got a call from Bianca Birnbaum, the founder of the Soviet Jewry movement in the world Soviet Jewry movement. He was the head of the Triple SJ, the Student Struggle Soviet Jewry. He and Glenn Richter, who, by the way, were both members of Lincoln Square Synagogue.
Well, and Glenn is still a member, and I'm a member.
Glenn is still a member, and still walks every single day, every single Shabbos, whether it's blizzard or storm or rain or freezing, from 97th Street to 58th Street, every single Shabbos.
He's a super.
One of our most dedicated shulgoers.
Yes.
Anyway, they called me in the mid-60s, and they said, I think it was 64, they said, "We're starting this organization. We need someone to play music and to help compose songs that are for our campaign. Would you do it?" So I said, "Okay, fine." I mean, and I became a volunteer. I ended up being a street singer, and a rally singer, and whenever they needed me, they just snapped my fingers and they snapped their fingers and I came.
That was great.
It was a wonderful experience. It just, it gave me a purpose in life. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I met so many more people than I would have had I just sat in my house. And eventually, I sang at the first big Triple SJ rally in 1965, which was the Jericho March. At the time that Shlomo Carlbach introduced Am Yisrael Chai for the first time, mm-hmm. I sang at that one. I sang at every subsequent UN rally, and eventually Shlomo never sang at the Solidarity Day rallies. I think perhaps the major organizations that had taken it over by then were afraid what he might say, so they didn't welcome him. They didn't invite him. So I sang every year at all the Solidarity Day rallies, mm-hmm. through the late 1980s. I sang with Natan Sharansky when he first came out of the Gulag. In fact, he came over to me and said, I want to sing two songs that I always sang in Russia, but I don't have a good voice. Would you mind singing with me?" So in front of 300,000 people, we sang Hine Matov Banoyim, and he said when he walked over the bridge between East and West for his freedom, he was not allowed to go with anybody. So he sang to himself, "Gesher Tzar Ma'od, all this world is a very narrow bridge." Yes. So he wanted me to sing that with him, too. So I did. So I became a Soviet Jewish singer. I became an Israel rally, all the Israeli rally singers. I did concerts, major halls in Brooklyn College. One of the first ones was with Chazen David Vertiger. Chazen David Vertiger was, of course, a very famous Chazen in Brooklyn. He was Mordechai's father. And he had a big concert with Jackie Goldstein, led a choir of 25, 30 people in Brooklyn College. And I was the interlude singer. I sang in the middle between the two sets. I got to know Hasenberger, and there were two little boys in the choir who always remembered that they actually ran and bought my records, and they never forgot it, and that was that's how they started out in their careers. Their names were Mordechai Werdiger, who became Mordechai Ben David, and Mendy Werdiger, who owns Aderet.
Yes, yeah, and mostly music. How did you get to Lincoln Square?
Well, that's another interesting question. I never thought that I'd do it as a career. But I was going to graduate school of psychology, and I met a young lady who I was interested in marrying, and I knew I had to earn a few dollars, just besides being a little folk singer. And so I had studied at the Bell School, and I asked them if they would mind putting me up. Now, in those days, every little shul had a chazan. It was unbelievable. I mean, I had a choice of five or six shuls in New York, small shuls that had a chazan. I chose finally a shul. I was accepted by three shuls, but I chose a shul in the Northeast Bronx called Anshe Amas that had been revitalized by a very famous rabbi now who just passed away, Rabbi David Hartman, who founded the Shalom Hartman Institute in Israel. And they had had a little fan club, the Sherwood Goffman fan club, the year before, so I knew them already. So I became the chazan there, and I also ran the Hebrew school at the same time I was taking my graduate school classes in psychology. And the second year I was there, I got a call on a Sunday morning from a little rabbi with a squeaky voice by the name of Stevie Riskin, who is now, of course, Rav Shlomo Riskin, chief rabbi of Efrat.
Yes.
And that he was starting a shul on the west side, and he needed a chazan. How he got to me, well, we had been friends for a year or so because we had done our outreach programs together. I would warm up the crowd with the guitar, and he would hit him with the Torah. But how he actually wasn't going to call me because he didn't want to take me away from the shul, but somebody had told the night before that I had just spoken to them and said that I was looking for another shul. So he gave me a call. And he wanted me to come because he needed a chazan. All the chazanim in the Midtown Manhattan at that time just did chazanas. Nobody did any congregational singing. It was all listening. You all sat back and listened. They were choir and chazan. Nobody got involved. And he says his shul was full of individuals who had no background, conservative reform people, who he had convinced to become Orthodox. And he needed someone who would get them involved in congregational singing. So over a period of time, I was going to say no many times, and I walked into this house, and I walked out saying maybe, because he's a very influential individual, very charismatic. And I agreed to try it for a year, and then the rest is history. So that was 1965, and now it's 50 years. It's my 50th year. December 31st will be 5 years, 50 years and 4 months. I told the show, I think that's a good run, and we'll call it a day. But they said, yeah, well, we still want you to live in the neighborhood. We want you to keep your office. We want you to come back every Yom Kippur, if you wish. I said, all right. But, you know, my main goal of retiring also is because all my grandchildren are in Baltimore, Silver Spring, and Maryland. And I want to be with my grandchildren and get to know them before they grow up and fly away. And in fact, now I have a little apartment here, which I use, so I don't have to bother them. And so I still will live in the neighborhood, and I'll still be teaching in the Bell School of Jewish Music after December 31st. But as far as an official paid member of the staff, after December 31st, I will have become emeritus. I don't know what I'll call myself. Right now, I'm the senior cantor. As you know, the chazan of the shul, my associate, my wonderful associate, Yankee Lemmer, is davening twice a month. I daven now like once every 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Probably after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I won't daven until Hanukkah. And then I'll become a civilian after 50 years and 4 months.
Well,
not only that, but it's really 52 years if you count the 2 years I was in the Bronx. So you remember, for almost 50 years or more, 51 years, I was davening every single Shabbos, Friday night, Shacharis, Musaf of Shabbos morning, straight for 51 years. Almost never missed a Shabbos, except for during the summer when I had a month off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a different world for me now.
By the way, I understand my listeners may not know, Baltimore, suburban Baltimore, has a fabulous Jewish community.
Oh, where I am, and especially in the Pikes, it's called the Pikesville area. It's really part of Baltimore City, but it's all the way northwest. It's a huge, huge. I mean, a shul opened with 400 seats. And like overnight, it was every single seat was taken by a young man between the ages of 25 and 30 with a black hat, you know.
Really? And of course...
up another shul down the block, same thing happened.
Avi Olbrecht has a huge shul there, too.
Yeah, yeah, obviously. He's the only chazan left, unfortunately, in Maryland.
Uh-huh.
Orthodox chazan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he has a very big shul, that's true. Right? But he's in a different area. He's in a more Tony suburban area.
I see. I see.
The area I'm in is where there are 25 blocks of two-story reasonable rent apartments.
Uh huh. They still have that.
Friday night, they announce at least 3 births of boys because there's going to be Shalom Zachar, so everybody has to go to the Shalom Zachar Friday night. And they don't announce the girls. There must be another 2-3 girls. That means every single week in this one shul, at least 4 or 5 children born every single week. It's just amazing what's going on here.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about the Bell School.
Well, the Bell School of Jewish Music was founded in the late 1940s as a cantoral workshop for servicemen coming back from the war. And Macy Nauman was asked by the Yeshiva University president to oversee it. It wasn't officially a school, it was a workshop. By 1950, it was officially called the Cantoral Training Institute and became an official part of Yeshiva University under the leadership of Dr. Carl Adler, who was the director of music, formerly the chancellor of the conservatory in Stuttgart. Had been saved from Germany by Yeshiva University's faculty, specifically a Rabbi Dr. Saar, and as thank you, he agreed to start a music department, and he started the music department. And he was also officially the dean of the Cantorial Training Institute, although he wasn't really a trained Jewish music expert, but he was a world music expert, and his associate was Macy Nauman. Eventually, Macy Nauman took over as the dean of the school. And we used to have a very large group for a number of reasons. First of all, in those days, there were a lot of cantoral positions, so people were studying to become a chazan, an Orthodox shul. And so there were a lot of people in the classes. Also, another thing, which was probably not true in some of the other schools, the Yeshiva College accepted credits from the Bell School. If a student took a certain amount of credits at the Bell School, was counted towards his 120 credit requirement for Yeshiva College.
I see.
To graduate Yeshiva College. Of course, there's a limit how many and there still is, how many credits you can take. In those days, we had a large large classes. We had 15 students, 20 students. We had wonderful teachers. We had, as I said before, we had Velvo Pasnak, we had Cantor Nauman, Noach Scholl, who's the greatest expert in cantoral knowledge today living. We had Cantor Chaim Nyman, we had Rabbi Sidney Honig. We had quite a faculty. And so the students who were there learned quite a bit and in great detail. And if you study music with Dr. Carl Adler, who was a German perfectionist, who scared the daylights out of you if you didn't do it right. you learned your music.
Mm-hmm.
And they granted, and they still grant, two different degrees. One is called the Associate Cantorial Certificate, which is basically for a shamus or anybody who wants to take the first step of the graduate degrees. It's mostly chakras and leinings and things of that type, which are important for every chassid though anyway. And the cantorial diploma, which is really the whole shoot match, everything. You have to know everything that there is in the curriculum, plus you have to know advanced music, musicianship and harmony and so on and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And we have we had a fair amount of famous graduates. Ketanoch Shaw was our first graduate.
Really?
From then on, you had, I don't know who else I can say, but I'm a graduate. Cantor Bernie Beer is a graduate. All the graduates now. It's hard to say, but certainly it grew a whole generation of not only talented chazanim, but trained, academically trained chazanim who knew exactly what they were doing, why they were doing it, and musically were prepared as well. And eventually, I went on to become a faculty member at the Bell School myself. So now I have a new job, because Yeshiva University is, perhaps due to financial requirements, they are going to convert perhaps 10, perhaps 20% of all their classes are going online. There's a new vice president for global education who's handling all this.
Uh-huh.
And they asked the Bell School, because the Bell School, we're no longer a large school. We have 50 students, 80 students, depends on the term. But we're using all the space in a big, huge building, which, by the way, they probably will be renting out soon. We mm-hmm. may have to move to another part of Yeshiva University,
uh-huh.
go back to where we were before. They have to save money. We're officially part of the rabbinical school, the Rabbi Isaac Lachana Theological Seminary. We are not part of Yeshiva College. We are part of the Rabbi Isaac Lachana Theological Seminary. And they have asked us, the dean, Rabbi Penner, has asked me to become the director of online education.
That's fantastic.
They will be slowly converting our classes. What I'll do is, in other words, I'll have a videographer coming in, and I'll be doing the class as if I was doing it in reality,
mm-hmm.
speaking to the students into the camera, obviously, going through each part of the curriculum, explaining things, the musical framework, the halachic framework, where everything comes from, how you have to interpret this, how you have to interpret that, for each particular davening, and that will be put online. And anybody anywhere in the world can access that class for a tuition, whatever the tuition credit costs.
Uh-huh.
And the difference is, that's what I'm a little nervous about, is that whereas in the history classes, you know, a guy can get up and teach history and say, all right, read the next 500 pages. And then after six or seven classes, give a midterm online. I can't quite do that, because this is a performance school, and the students have to do it a certain way, and they have to say it right, and they have to say the words right, and they have to interpret the music correctly. So I really have to Skype with them, which each student every 2 weeks at least. And that's going to be a challenge. It's really going to be a challenge. So...
I'm impressed that you even would know how to use Skype. My grandchildren, I don't even know how to use it.
Well, Charlie, I have learned how to use the Skype, and I'm sure many of your listeners who are listening to this program know how to use Skype. But I tell you the truth, I tried it last year. The school in St. Louis, a high school, a yeshiva high school in St. Louis, whose principal was a student of mine.
Mm-hmm.
When he was young, in Rabbi Riskin's high school, I taught class in davening. When he was in Riverdale, when the class was in Riverdale, when the school was in Riverdale, he moved all that to Israel, of course. But and he asked me to teach a class to his students in St. Louis, in the high school in St. Louis, in davening, weekday davening, once a week. He had already had some of the finest teachers in the world teaching his students. How? Rabbi Liebtag from Israel also taught his students once or twice a week by Skype. A famous woman teacher, Smadar Rosenzweig, also taught the girls a class over by Skype. And he wanted me to do the same thing with the week they did. And I did it. I did it for 2 months. I taught his students how to daven as a special nusach for weekdays, almost note for note, for shacharis in the morning, for mincha in the afternoon, for ma'ariv at night. There is a nusach, and they have to know how to do it right. So I got a little bit of experience on Skype. But it still is a little daunting. I'm a bit technologically challenged. So I hope I'll be. Sometimes I don't know which button to press. You know, I was supposed to get on the on the class, and I didn't know which button to press so that they could see me. You know, he had to call me a couple of times and tell me what to do.
Well, for their final exam, I guess perhaps you'll be face to face with them and be able to hear them.
Well, I don't know. You see, now we have now the capacity, the capability. For the first time, I could have a student from the Ukraine, student from Germany, student from Canada, student from Oregon, all in this class. They're spread all over the world,
wow,
which is what they're hoping for, because this will, of course, will increase their tuition base. Other classes too.
I'm trying to envision you spending 80 hours a week on the...
so that's the problem. I said to the dean of the school, I said, who, by the way, so many people from Yeshiva University now, I mean from Lincoln Square, my shul.
Yes.
My shul, I'm very proud to say, have assistant rabbis who are now running the Yeshiva University. Mm-hmm. My assistant rabbi, Rabbi Penner, is the head of the rabbinical school. My assistant, former assistant rabbi, Rabbi Brander, both of them were interim rabbis, by the way, between different rabbis. Also, he's now running the Center for the Jewish Future. He's the vice president of Yeshiva University. Richard Joel followed me in the Yeshiva University seminars where I used to be the music director. When I left, he became the music director, Richard Joel, who's the president. So anyway, they're looking forward to increasing their tuition base. And I won't be able to meet them, these students, one-to-one, as we say, panim al panim,
yes,
in real life, but I'll have to meet with them over Skype. And there's a new technology, by the way, called JETS. I think it's called JETS. I don't know what it is. But it's a newer technology that's more efficient and more accurate than Skype is. So we'll see. I mean, it's a new world.
We're yes. Start,
we may start this September. I don't know if it'll be in... they have to record at least two or three classes, which mm-hmm. we haven't done yet, and I'm here in Baltimore, so we may have to wait until the springtime to begin, but that's a new world now that I'm involved in, and I can even do that from home if I'm in Baltimore.
Yes, today you could be any place in the world,
Right, but I'll still be coming into to the Bell School at least once a week, so.
Well, obviously, sure, for my cantorial calendar, I wish that I would be kept up to date so that many of my listeners will be able to take advantage of this outstanding opportunity.
Well, I hope they do. I'll tell you one thing about the Bell's curriculum. You know, many chazanim are good enough to improvise. They do a beautiful job. But, you know, most cantors are human, and they don't necessarily have the capacity to create their own davening within certain modes. As you know, each paragraph of tefillah has a required mode and required style, but you can improvise on that, and that's how you get your cantorial fantasias from there. But a person has to know the basic nusach. And one thing about the Bell School nusach, which Cantor Beer spent over 20, 30 years creating, is that it's the way a real Baal Tefillah davens. When you hear the old-time Baal Tefillahs in the Aguda or in other places, who people really know how to daven.
Uh-huh.
And this is the real davening that was done for 200 years by Bali Tefillah. Accurate, and it's also done, we redid it to make it dictu correct, the right accents, accentuation, the right connection of words. It's a beautiful davening. It's very melodic. I'll give you a quick example if you have a minute.
Sure, of course.
For instance, Chazon will get up and go, okay, nu vil ke vos say nu, it's even nu chos say nu. Gachen mit zeh hob senken mit zeh sech hob sabay nu mit zeh sam khim shva sech hob mit ay le ben yot khav yames mach yrein wat shma ken yav brotsan shavs ge chekh hob yanu khova yisrael ka chey shmecho. It's a little boring cuz you're repeating the phrases one after another, whereas we have the following. We have okay nu okay I will say nu mit zeh bim nu khos say nu kadashay nu mit zeh sech hob. The same Kalkin of a soda seho Sabe no me to veho, the summer I knew the shoe was seho, the daily pain knew the other hobbemus. No, it's very melodic, very emotional.
Right.
It builds, there's a constant building to it. So it's something that adds a beautiful explication. A feeling, a regesh, a kavana that every chazan can use as a basis for his davening. If he wants to go off on a cantorial fantasia from there, mechava gadol. But at least every chazan should have a framework. And the Bell's curriculum, which will soon be available, although we're only putting three davenings on it to start with, but every chazan should know that framework and that basis on which to grow and become a great chazan from there. It's very important.
Well, it sounds like a great program, and I'm sure it's going to be widely used, and I'm sure we'll get new talent from this that you ordinarily...
Yeah, really, at least the people in the world, the outside world there, and the shuls where unfortunately they don't have chazanim, at least we'll know that at least the layman will have at least a proper guideline to know how to daven properly. But of course, our eventually hope is that chazanim will learn this, that shuls were, because they realize that davening takes a little more skill than just getting up there and saying the words, they're going to realize that they're going to need a chazan, because the people that are coming up there are really butchering the davening.
Uh-huh.
And eventually, the circle may come around. They all realize that they will need chazan in the future, and will be a position at least to be able to teach new chazanim what they have to know.
Well, it sounds very exciting, and I wish you a great success, because it's certainly needed. Sherwood, any closing thoughts about chazanut?
Well, I mean, in a way, this is what I said before. A little bit of that in there, it's all of us who are involved in the, and all of those of us who are teaching in the cantoral world, are very upset with the fact that certainly in Orthodox shuls, chazanim no longer exist, and every year we're losing a little town here and a little town there who always formerly had a chazan. It's something that pains all of us. The conservative reform world, that don't have that problem necessarily, because the people in those shuls are not usually, they don't have yeshiva training, they don't have a background that at least they think they can get up and daven, that they don't need a chazan. But they know they don't need they're not trained, so they want to. So they need a chazan. But certainly, in the Orthodox world, right now we don't have positions filled by Orthodox chazanim. Here in Baltimore, when I first came in 1960s, I did a concert, and I did concerts at least 10 or 12 different times over a period of 20 years in Baltimore. When I first came, there were 10 Orthodox chazanim in Baltimore. 10. Now there's only one. There's Avi Albrecht. Every other shul that had a chazan no longer has. It's the same thing. Philadelphia, we have no Orthodox chazanim. In Chicago, we had Orthodox Chazonim. There's not one Orthodox Chazon in Chicago. We had Chazonim in Boston. We don't have none there. In New York, most shuls don't have a Chazon, except in Midtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
Midtown Manhattan, all the major shuls have Chazon. It's probably the last place in America where almost every shul has a Chazon.
Yes.
But again, I do believe I'm trying to predict the future. It's hard to predict, but now that I have a little more time and I'm not davening every Shabbos anymore, I do go around to different shuls and I have a chance to hear other chazonim in every different cities and different places, and not chazonim, but I hear Balei Tefillah, you know, a layman who get up and daven. Some are very good, I must say, but unfortunately, too many times there are people who get up there and really don't know what they're doing.
Mm.
And because a person has a yahrzeit with a terrible voice, he davens most of Shabbos morning and destroys the whole davening, which is, by the way, not a halachic requirement. He doesn't have to daven most of it. But some shuls are afraid to get a balabas upset. So they even let him daven musaf, the main davening of Shabbos morning, with a guy who has no voice and has no idea what he's doing. So eventually, I believe that someday the circle will turn, as I said before, and hopefully the profession of chazanus, which is over 1,000 years old, will come back to the Orthodox shul, and people will again be inspired by the type of chazonim that we have had historically, and there will be other mitzvah shem, Yossel Rosenblatts and Moshe Kozovitzkis, and the quality of prayer will be brought back to a high level as it was before, and I hope that will happen. And eventually, I don't know when, I may not be alive when that happens, but hopefully someday that will happen.
Well, we just have to keep trying. We can't give up,
that's
for sure. Okay, so thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us, and I hope you're going to enjoy your retirement with your grandchildren, and it's a wonderful way to look towards the future.
Well, I will still keep in touch with all the chazanim. I'm still going to be part of the Cantorial Council of America. I'm still going to be at the Bell School, so I'm still going to be living in the Lincoln Square area. I'll still be teaching bar mitzvahs.
Great.
I'll be there in shul harmonizing with Yankee Lemmer.
So,
you know, I'm not going too quickly, but God willing, it's a new phase. I have to get used to it. But I have an idea that I may even enjoy it.
I'm sure you will. Thanks again, Sherwood.
All right. Thank you, Charlie. All the best, Charlie.
Shalom. Okay. That was the cantor Sherwood Goffin. And we'll next hear from Chaim David Burson, who is the chazan at the Jewish Center in Manhattan. I'm pleased to have with me on the phone Chazan Chaim David Burson of the Jewish Center on West 86th Street in Manhattan. Shalom. How are you, Chaim David?
I'm fine. Shalom, Charlie. Thank you for having me on your show. It's really an honor and a great pleasure.
It's my pleasure also. And it's during the 3 weeks, and I decided that I'm not playing any music, and I thought I'd use this opportunity to introduce you and others to my audience, and also, you know, just to learn what's going on in the world of Chazanut. So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you were born, where you were raised.
I was born in Yerushalayim, in Israel. People always ask me, how do I speak English so well? So yes, it's not that I picked it up over the last couple of years that I've been here. My parents are American, and they made Aliyah. I was born in Israel, but we spoke English at home, and that's where the English comes in, which is definitely definitely helpful these days. I grew up, went to yeshiva, always sort of had an interest in music. We loved singing. We loved getting together and singing in our family. I would say when I was a teenager, I started getting into music. I picked up playing guitar. I was doing my experiments and listening to different types of music. And I had a bunch of friends in yeshiva, I would say, and we we sort of discovered Chazanut for ourselves. We had cassettes back then, and we were trying to get a hold of various recordings, and I really loved it. For me, it was this very special combination of, on one hand, music and the most highest, on the highest level, very sophisticated, and also davening and combining the two. Growing up, honestly, I didn't grow up with chazan, so it was very limited what I heard in shul. It was nice singing, but there wasn't much to it, and suddenly I was exposed and I discovered this whole world of music.
This was a yeshiva in Yerushalayim?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. When I was probably 16, 17. And a couple years later, someone made a connection between me and Cantor Naftali Herzig that has the Tel Aviv Cantorial Institute.
Uh-huh.
And I started studying there, and that just opened up all these doors, and I really started understanding and meeting with cantors and hearing cantorial music and studying it and having opportunities to perform and to travel to various congregations and places in the world. And it's always been amazing, and it's still amazing.
How did you come to the Jewish Center?
The Jewish Center, 5 years ago, was looking for a chazan, and they actually reached out to Naftali Herzig, to the school. It's probably one of the places you would naturally go to look for a chazan.
Uh-huh.
And my name came up, and we started discussing the option. I came out, tried out for a Shabbat. It was, I don't know if you remember back then, we had a whole process, a whole tryout process.
Yes.
Various chazanim even came to try out.
Yes.
And I guess they liked something that I do.
You were living in Jerusalem at the time?
Yes. I was still in yeshiva, in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim.
Mm-hmm.
And I was already, so I have to say, although I was learning yeshiva, I already was working part-time as a cantor and a singer. I would sing at the weddings, and I had a couple of gigs at the chazan. But 3 years prior to arriving at the Jewish Center, I used to fly into Montreal for the high holidays, and I used to lead the parallel service there at Shah Shemaim.
Oh, okay.
Alongside with the cantor Gideon Zellemeyer and the musical director Stephen Glass.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really a great, great experience. Both on the personal level and on the musical level, just I learned so much, and they have, you know, a great choir and great music. And Gideon Zellmeyer, the cantor there, is a student of Naftali as well. So mm-hmm. We had a lot in common, and it really took off. That was sort of my gig before I arrived in New York.
Just as an aside, I interviewed Naftali. The interview can be heard on my show, and I will be interviewing Gideon in a week or so, and so it's a very small, tight-knit circle.
Yes. Yeah.
Tell us about your experience with the Tel Aviv Cantorial Institute, run by Naftali.
Anyone who's interested in studying Chazanut, I first of all highly recommend checking out that place. In so many levels. First of all, the teachers are superb. Naftali, being the head of the school, is really a great mentor, and his knowledge of Chazanut and his expertise is outstanding. And the group of guys that go to that school are just fantastic. There's so much talent out there. And, you know, socializing with all these guys, just spending time, is so amazing because we all share our common interests.
Uh-huh.
And everyone brings something else to the table. And, you know, I can tell you one of the most amazing things to me, you know, coming from yeshiva and going to study part-time at the Tel Aviv Cantorial Institute, I was exposed to so many other people from different backgrounds, from different places, that I probably, if not for the common interest of Chazanut, I would have never had anything to do with them.
Uh-huh.
And I really developed some great friendships, and you suddenly discover that there's so much out there. And it's really, it's sort of this, almost like a melting pot of, you know, one of the most impossible combinations of people that would never get together anywhere else.
Yes, and the music has that ability to bring people together. You know?
Yes, absolutely.
I think it's wonderful what's here on the Upper West Side between you and Zevi Muller and Yaki Lemmer, and then going a little bit beyond. There are so many others here in the city, but it's just a great place for people who love Chazanut to live and to. I personally do a lot of shul hopping, and I think it's very. I feel very fortunate.
I couldn't agree more. We're really blessed to have in our neighborhood here on the Upper West Side these great chazanim, great cantors, and they happen to be great friends of mine, and we're always looking for ways to collaborate and to do things together, which I think is amazing for us and amazing for the community.
Yes.
Just recently, I don't know if you were here, then we had a chazan swap between myself and Chazan Yaki Lemmer. I went to Daven on Lincoln Square for Shabbat, and he came to the Jewish Center in Daven.
Oh, really?
And it was very successful on both ends. And we're actually working on the next one, trying to do the same with Zevi. And it was beautiful. It was just amazing for the community and opportunities for everyone.
Oh, I would really love to be able to know that in advance so I could put it on the calendar.
I will let you know as soon as we find a date that works for everyone. You'll be the first to know.
Yeah, and I hear there's even whispering that there might be a kumsitz in the offing. Yeah.
Yes, that'd be very nice. We did it last year at Lincoln Square. We got together and we did a pre-high holiday kumsitz class. That was very, very nice, and we're looking forward to doing it again. It will probably be the week before leading up to Rosh Hashanah. We're just trying to finalize the date, and I will let you know.
Great. Now, cantors from the past, let's say the golden era or the late golden era, were there any that have influenced you, that you appreciate?
Yeah, that's always a tough question because there's so many, and each one of them has his own specialty. I would say, if I can just throw out a couple of names, I would say Leibel Leglant was really someone that I was always amazed by his unique style.
Yes, definitely.
Genshoff, Rosenblatt, of course, can't really, and Kusevitsky. I have to say, one of the first chazanim that I heard was Moshe Kusevitsky, and that actually makes sense because I feel for someone who, at the time, wasn't really so knowledgeable about chazanut, there's something about just that powerful voice and that clarity that can grab anyone.
Yes,
you right away connect to it.
Yes.
I'm sure there are plenty others. I don't want to leave anyone out.
No, I know it's a tough one, and that's why I always ask of the deceased ones because we don't want to get into any problems.
Kulam ovim, kulam berurim.
Tell me if a congregant or a friend came to you and said they needed some advice, they want to become a chazan, what would you tell that person?
First of all, they should go learn how to daven. Unfortunately, today I see that a lot of people think that chazanut is really learning a bunch of pieces and singing them at concerts. And that's great, not taking away from that. But that's sort of just the bonus of chazanut. The real chazanut is in shul. The real chazanut is davening, is how to deliver tefillah, the pacing, the improvisation, the right nusach. And to pray for a job. Chazanut is great. It's a little tough these days to find a job. So it's let's put it this way. You have to really love Chazanut first and not just get into it because you're looking to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I've seen a lot of people that they were just in it for the money and they didn't last so long because it's tough.
Yes.
There. So you really got to love the music. You got to connect to it on a personal level. And if you're good, usually it finds you.
Mm-hmm.
So just believe in it and enjoy it and learn it.
Yeah, that's exactly what Chaim Adler told me in an interview I did with him about a year ago. I said to him, when someone comes to me, a young fellow, I said, look, I don't know your voice. If you're a health guy, maybe you'll be able to earn a living, but I suggest that you go out and find a way to earn a living and let this be your avocation. He yelled at me. He said, no, as you said, if you have that burning desire that you just, it will find you. And it's an interesting comment. Any closing thoughts about the Chazanut?
I one of the things that I noticed a lot that, like, I'm sure you're aware as well, Chazanut on one hand has it's being revived, and there's a great uprise, and there's a lot of Chazanut concerts, and people are buying CDs and they listen to it. That's one hand. On the other hand, people don't really have so much patience anymore, or they're not really interested in having it on a regular basis in their shul. And this is a big topic. It's hard to close with this topic. But, you know, a chazan really has to remember that he's also a shaliach tzibur, and his focus should be to do what the congregation loves and connects and wants to hear. And obviously, the responsibility and the role as a chazan is to teach them and to educate them and to also expose them to what's really out there. But finding that balance, you know, what people call it, congregational singing, pacing your davening, not be too long, knowing when to knowing how to balance that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really about carrying the congregation and inspiring them and finding ways for them to connect. And if you can do that through Chazanut, that's amazing. But always to stay tuned to what's going on.
Oh, those are great words of advice. And I look forward to seeing you soon, and also hearing about new ventures here on the Upper West Side. And keep up the good work.
Be'ezrat Hashem. Thank you so much, Charlie, and good luck with all the great things you do.
Thank you so much, Chaim David.
Bye-bye.
Shalom. Okay, so we have time for one more interview, and this is with Maestro Eli Yaffe of the Great Synagogue. Pleased to have me on the phone from Yerushalayim, Eli Yaffe, who is a leading conductor, a director of the music department of Dvir Yeshiva High School for Art, and of the Jerusalem School for Cantorial Art. He's the music director for the Jerusalem Great Synagogue Choir, as well as of the Europe Israel Foundation for the Advancement of Jewish Liturgical Music. Shalom, Eli. How are you?
Shalom. I'm very well indeed. And how about you?
Oh, things are fine. I'm sure my listeners, most of them, if they've ever been to Yerushalayim, they've been to the Great Synagogue and they've seen you and your absolutely wonderful, outstanding choir.
Thank you.
How about telling us a little bit about yourself, where you were born, where you were raised?
Right. I was born in Jerusalem. I was raised in a religious frame by my family, my late father, Dr. Maurice A. Jaffe. He was the founder of Heichal Shlomo and the Jerusalem Great Synagogue. And may she live long, my mother. I studied in Yeshiva High School, to be followed by service at the Israel Defense Army, in which I started the music education. Needless to say, when I was a child, I sang in the Heichal Shlomo Choir at that time as a boy, under the direction of Dr. Tzvi Talmon and the Chazan Moshe Stern, may he live long, one of the legends of Chazanut in our time. And I studied conducting and composition in the Rubin Academy of Music, to be followed by the Royal Academy of Music in London, and master classes from Leonard Bernstein and Igor Markevich. Ever since I started doing a combination between the classical music, where I conduct frequently, for example, in Prague, in Baltimore, in Mexico, in various places, but the idea that I have in mind is to combine the classical repertoire and the Jewish repertoire of cantorial music, which I write, compose, or arrange, to demonstrate to the world that without Jewish music, we wouldn't have the Verdi Requiem, we wouldn't have the Mozart C minor Mass. The Jews have given to the world the most significant two gifts, the Holy Bible and Jewish and music a significant part of the worship of the Almighty. So that's what I'm doing, and composing and writing and lecturing all over.
Well, I was in Jerusalem just a few weeks ago when you had that outstanding concert and at the Har HaZeitim. That was among some of the great concerts that I've seen you direct and lead. It was very exciting.
Thank you, but no, this concert in Har HaZeitim was to deliver a message. Unfortunately, we suffer from severe terror activities and lynching and attacking by the Arabs, who really secular the tombs, they open the matzivot, they make the urinate, they build houses there without any supervision, and trying really to violate any Jewish sign in this particular place. And we have decided, and not so, the PLO terror organization was established there in 1964. So we decided to make known, to bring it to the attention to the entire world, mainly to the entire Jewish people, who may not be aware of this ridiculous situation in an independent Jewish state, what's happening in Har HaZeitim. So we decided to do this concert there. That was the initiative of Hillel Horowitz, who is acting as the head of the All Chevra Kedisha Association in Jerusalem.
Aha. It was a wonderful, wonderful outpouring. I was so pleased to be there. Tell us about the choir. First of all, how people become members and how you maintain such a wonderful choir.
Well, first of all, it's a hard work. If I can tell you that before the High Holidays, we are doing approximately 40 rehearsals, that means something. But the idea is that I do the choir mainly in the memory of my late father, who established the synagogue. But I have decided to make sure, to do my utmost, that this will be an example for the world of how a synagogue choir should represent the Jewish music like. And it is known that in the past we had very important guests at the Berlin Philharmonic came to hear the choir, members of the La Scala of Milano came to hear the choir, and next year the Gewandhaus directors are coming to hear the choir, to hear the beautiful, significant, divine services that we are trying to deliver. And the people from all over the world, Jews as unlike, coming to be inspired from the divine services, mainly in the High Holidays. Now, this obviously is a lot of work. We have people who are professional musicians, but mainly great music lovers, who are ready to sacrifice lots of their time to come and to really reach a high level of singing. And they do it out of complete neshama, and more if so, they do it in such a way which created a family atmosphere in the choir. They're all friends. They all like each other, which creates a lot of unity and adds to the musical level.
Well, I also note that from the choir, there are outstanding cantors being raised, if you will.
Well, that is true. That many of the people who study in the school of Petah Tikva, by the control of school in Petah Tikva, joined the choir. But not just, many of them, I try to raise up as the chazanim, one of them, Avraham Kirshenbaum, is now the second chazan of the Great Synagogue. Many of them I took on tours to Europe. I take them to concerts with orchestras and through the school and its director, with Hakashi. We do a lot of activities to bring more people who are known to be to have a good future in Chazanut. We send them a ballet tefillot all over the world for the High Holidays. And we are very proud because we teach them very deeply, very profound of Chazanut thinking, not just learning pieces of Chazanut and repeat them.
It's wonderful to see Chaim Adler at the synagogue.
Yes, thank God. Chaim Adler came to us 4 years ago, or 5 years ago. You know, with the age, he's becoming more and more Yain Yashan Bikli Chadash. It's like an old wine in a new dish. God has blessed him with a unique voice, and he sings with a lot of neshama. And I love him, and I love working with him. He yes. always tries very hard to be prepared, and to he's really, really understand his position as the chief chazan of the Great Synagogue, which I am very happy about.
Well, it's wonderful to see the interaction between the choir and Chaim.
Yes, we love each other and we get along. That's a secret.
What are your thoughts about the future of Chazanut?
Well, I believe that now there is a certain kind of resurrection. We suffered severely a generation ago. We must not forget that the older Chazanim, such as Rosenblatt, Kosovitsky, could not imitate their precedents because they had no discs, there was no internet, there was no YouTube at that time. It became to such an extent that in our time, people try to imitate, and which is not good. What I'm trying to do is even teaching my pupil how to compose a piece of Chazanut. Never mind if they're influenced by other people. Bach was Mozart was influenced by Bach, Beethoven by Mozart. It's not an issue. We have to teach our future Chazanim thinking Chazanut and not only knowing Chazanut but understanding Chazanut. We have to teach them why is the Nusach that way and not sang another way. There is a perush for every Nusach, just like there is a perush in Torah. For example, I always maintain that the Nusach Tfilah is like the cantillation of Tamei Mikra of the Torah. And that's how it should be treated. And that's how we get to understand it, to think it, and by that, thinking it better and expressing it better and more interesting.
Is there any glimmer of light that they're coming back to the shuls? I mean, the concerts seem to be thriving, but the eternal issue seems to be getting the shuls to bring the chazan back.
Well, that is my aim. I believe that concerts are important, you know, it's parnasa for the chazanim, and it's important to bring the message of chazanut to those who are not regular shul goers. However, it's needless to say, the place of the chazan, first and foremost, is the amud ha-tfilah. The shtele, as we say in Yiddish. And that's where it should begin, and you should bring the shtele to the concert hall, which means even in the concert hall, when you say a good piece, you should say it as if you double, because when you approach the audience, you should approach it in such a way that they would feel your davening even in a concert. But first and foremost, everything should be built in Nusach. The reason Nusach is called Nusach Misinai, because of its significance and importance. That is why we have to make sure that the Nusach will lead us in any part of our career, in any part of our thinking, whether it's in the concert hall, whether it's in the synagogue, but mainly start in the synagogue.
Yes, I was in touch with, I interviewed Yossi Malavani, and I said, Yossi, we really have to do on my program a class. I'm sure it'll be quite a few lessons on Nusach, because...
Yossi has a great knowledge of Nusach. He doesn't only know Nusach, he understands Nusach, which is much more significant. I was very, very lucky to share the stage with Yossi Malavani, both in the Chazanut world as in the classical world. He did Elijah with me in Prague. He did a magnificent job. And the thing is, that is so unique about him. He doesn't only know Nusach, he understands. And that is why he's very precise, he's very focused, and he's trying to get to the perfection which he believes, and I believe, Chazanut should get to.
How about some of your favorites from the past generation? Did you have any particular favorite chazanim from the golden age, if you will, or the post-golden age?
Well, of course, but I must mention, you know, Moshe Stern is celebrating his 80th birthday this year. And let me tell you that for me, Moshe Stern was the one whom I took the first image of Chazanut as a young, as a child. He was the Chazan of the Heichal Shlomo Synagogue. And he was able to reach such a high level that he is one, for me, one of the greatest cantors, even from the Golden Ages. Now, needless to say, the Golden Ages were the Golden Ages as it is. Rosenblatt was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful musician. I call him Mozart of the cantorial world. But you cannot underline many others, such as the Kosovitskis, which gave so much to the world. But let me tell you something about Malevsky. Malevsky takes the simplicity and make it something legend. For example, his piece, Ribona Olami. The guy just opened the siddur and he doesn't. And that is so pure, so unique. This is the golden ages of Chazanut. Rosenblatt, Kosovitsky, Malevsky, and all these generations which had to make the effort to study themselves because they couldn't imitate as easy as we're doing today to the past generation.
Yeah, Malevsky's Shomea Kol Bechios is one of my most favorite selections.
Oh, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. He was a real governor. He was a real governor.
I had the honor of interviewing four of his children about 25 years ago. And that interview was a two-hour program I did. It's one of the most often requested interviews I've ever done, and it was a wonderful experience. And of course, Moshe Stern, besides being a wonderful individual and a great voice, his improvisation is unique.
His improvisation, you say, not only his improvisation is unique, undoubtedly, but his approach to the text is unique. You know, I always tell him, there is only one bad point in your governance. It's ending. It comes to an end.
I like that.
But I want to tell you something. For me, what is to become a good chazan is to know how to serve the text, how to interpret the text through music. So it will bring it will lift the spirit of the audience to be near the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that you are a real shliach tzibur, to be nearer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu through the music to deliver.
Well, it's also important for them to study, and I think that's such an important for the young people. They just can't get up and sing. They need training and study.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. They need training. They need understanding of the text. You will be surprised how many times I approach even Israeli students at the beginning. They think this is like Tihera Bishmael, and there are some difficult words, and they don't know what it means. You cannot do that. You can, if I conduct oratory, Mendelssohn, Verdi, Wagner, forgive me for the expression, I study every word, what it means, otherwise I cannot identify myself with it. I can mainly imitate it. So they need a lot of training. First of all, also musical training. Could you imagine that a Hebrew teacher who cannot read Hebrew, a Chazan must read music? It is also important, and I'm going to say now something very bizarre. A Chazan needs ears before he needs voice.
Interesting.
He knows, should know how to listen to the text, to listen to the accompaniment, to have an internal hearing. So it will give him the right rhythm, internal rhythm, the right approach. He must have wonderful ears.
Do you find there are many young people in Israel who are interested in Chazanut?
Yes. I must say every year, thank God, I'm getting more and more pupils who want to study, want to come to concerts, and they're getting interested. That is why we should try and keep the level as high as possible without any compromise. That is why Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the great synagogue, is so unique. I'm making 40 rehearsals. No way I will compromise on anything artistically. I will treat everybody with utmost respect. But if you want to have people interested in Chazanut, you must not compromise. go to the topest level. Otherwise, you'll be treated as such.
Well, Ellie, I'm so pleased that you shared your thoughts with us. Before we end, any other closing thoughts?
Recording to ask that I should give you a request for recording?
No, I just wanted to know. any closing items that we haven't discussed?
Well, this, you know, Tammuz is the initial of Zman Tshuva Memashmesh Uva. I would like to call all the Chazanim. There is one prayer, Horem Ma Sheyomer Uhavinem Ma Sheyedaberu. This is a prayer in Rosh Hashanah, which all Chazanim together speaks about each other, try to support each other. The Tzipur is saying this prayer about the Chazanim. And I would like to call the Chazanim, go from Mechayil El Chayil, with Ezrat Hashem, God will listen to our prayers, with Ezrat Hashem, through the wonderful, pure music that you deliver, will get Ezrat Hashem Keula Shlema, and we will bring all the Chazanim to Eretz Israel. They will all have positions, they will all have parnasah, and there will be Ish et Re'ehu Ya'azor Le'achim Yomar Chazak.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Eli.
Thank you very much. Okay. Bye-bye.
Shalom. Okay, so that's it for the 3-week period. Of course, this coming Saturday evening, Sunday, is Tisha B'Av, and next week I'm getting back to regular programming, but as I mentioned to you, there are so many interviews that are yet to be done, and I feel it's very important for historic reasons alone to do these interviews now. So the regular schedule for the next few weeks will be, the first hour will be interviews, and the second hour will be Chazanut, return to Chazanut. So thank you so much for joining with me, and you know how to get in touch if you have any comments or requests, cbjmusic@aol.com, cbjmusic@aol.com.